The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Today is Fathers, but it's a little different from the passage. The first thing I want to say today is the broad picture for the King's Chapel. What we're trying to do is a trinity of purpose, top, T-O-P, ops, O-P-S, oikos, this is the people who are nearest and dearest to you who are not are unchurched, we'll just put it that way, who are unchurched. We would like you to consider making a list of 8 to 15 of those on, we have little cards in the lobby or on the desk there that say, in essence, they're saying to your heart, I love these guys and I'm going to pray for them by God's grace every day, not in a mechanical way, not in a religious way, but in a kind of a determined way. We want the Lord, when he comes, to see that there was faith on earth, that someone was out there pitching, that said, we believe, Lord, we believe you answer prayer, and somehow in a mystical way you allow us to put our hands on the steer wheel of the universe that you alone are in charge of, but somehow we can resonate with your purpose in the earth. And we have seen, at least I'm seeing personally, answers to prayer, tough stuff, people with heart situations that have recovered. Our intercessors saw a little tiny girl that was basically dying. Basically, she's come to life. My sister-in-law, a death-dealing cancer attack. Some months later, by the grace of God and the wonderful skill of physicians, she's back and she's cancer-free. And it's just person after person. You know, last year, a boy that went to our a fusion camp that was in my family, and I bring this up because it's on my oikos list. He lives in a foreign country. He came, we were praying for him, he received Christ and was baptized there. God answers prayer. And I think he wants you to see that what you say to him counts, and he can even inspire your words in some prophetic sense to let you know who he's touching and what he's doing. And on your list of 8 to 15 on your oikos list, victory, victory, victory. And yes, death also is a victory because we're ushered into his near presence. But that's it. Oikos, ops, O, prayer, small groups. We want to reach our world. We'll do everything we can to reach people for Christ. But one of the things that causes people to get their heads up and look is if they can see how you love one another. And we do not want your whole life centered around the church where you're going to church 5 days a week. I'd rather you be out doing soccer, playing the violin in the school orchestra, whatever, as long as your heart is filled with the love of Christ and you're somewhere involved in either a buddy system or a small group. Do not let us organize it all. You guys pray. If you want to open your house up and only two or three gather in his name, that will create community. Out of the community, that will inspire encouragement. And then when you go to school, or maybe your small group is at your locker with one girlfriend, one boyfriend, it's a buddy system. We'll meet here once a week and we'll pray for our friends. And in any healthy family, there's a measure of accountability. And in these small groups, some of them, that also happens there. So ops, oikos, prayer, small groups, top ops. We're out by God's grace to change our world because he's a world changer. We do not want his sacrifice not to count. It will count because he will make it count. But one way he does it is by inspiring his children with his love. And that's what we're talking about this morning. You'll remember that the Lord Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. He's performing miracles. It's exciting, enticing. It's absolutely fabulous what's going on. And the characteristics of the crowd are quite complex. There's three C's there. Characteristics, crowd, and complex. We know we have the tax collectors and the sinners, and my son does a far better job with this than I do. But these were people that were repudiated by their own people and hated by their own people for their behavior, for their craziness, for their traitorous habits, for their collusion with the Roman government in terms of the tax collectors. And then sinners, that's just kind of the common person that is so self-centered he can think of nothing but himself and meeting his own lower nature and rewarding it every day of his life. And in so doing, he is a walking dead man. Now, Why wouldn't a holy person step away, walk away from those people? Doesn't that make sense? What fellowship hath light with darkness? And yet today we're going to talk about a prodigal son, yes, but also a prodigal father. And I always say this, do they call them SATs now or college boards? It's SATs, isn't it? For years, one of the words used on there was prodigal, because we all have definitions in our mind. But what it means is recklessly extravagant, opulent in what this kid did for himself as he fed his own lower nature. Opulent, radical, reckless extravagance. But we've changed the title. Because why? Because I'm going to put dads down? Oh, no. Not from this pulpit. I love my dad. You know, got to say it, love my dad. And what he instilled in me by his example was honor and integrity. Some of you go, my dad wasn't there, he didn't hug me, he didn't do this. My dad wasn't all about that at all times either. Gotcha. He had something else going on. He protected and provided. And I knew that. And I hope and pray that we honored him for his sacrifice for our country and for his family. Let me tell you, here's my marriage counseling tip for the day. I married you, Melanie, for better, for worse, for sickness and health, till death do us part. Let there be no condemnation about marriages past. But if you make vows and make a commitment, don't go anywhere. I'm sure my father wasn't easy to live with when he spent years of his life away from the family, serving his country. By the way, our Colonel Brian Roberts is going to a foreign land in just a few days. He's been called up again. It's a great honor, but it's a great hardship on the family. But kids, the Lord will intervene for you, and we love you so much, and you have a great dad. Great dad. Thank God for the new phones, right, where you can talk to him. He's always been a better man than I am, and I thank God that he brought him here to us as a gift, a loving gift from a prodigal, recklessly extravagant father to the King's Chapel. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. May I suggest to you that they were hearing the reckless, extravagant father's voice in the Lord Jesus Christ? What were they coming near him for? Because he was performing acts of amazing mercy, opening blind eyes, setting captives free, rebuking demonic forces. This was a scary man in a certain way, but in another way, there was a draw that was unavoidable. There was a magnetism that God gave the Lord Jesus, his dear son, that was filled with reckless extravagance. And the Pharisees and the scribes are watching this. They want to be somebody. Never want to be somebody. Always want to be his body, his person. They grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Well, why wouldn't he? Does the Bible say God is love? Is this a license for our bad behavior, which is, I think, what these guys were sinisterly suggesting, that these people, that somehow he was enabling bad behavior. He was allowing these people even to get near him. I've got news for the scribes and the Pharisees, one of which I am from time to time, perhaps too much, is that he, Jesus, and the God he represents, is a good father, and he loves his children. And we know, as Mark expressed to us, he's already reached out to one sheep, one of the 100 he went after. Secondly, the woman looking around the house for a silver coin, one silver coin out of 10. She's searching everywhere to find it, and the scripture says here, "Rejoice with me when she's with her girlfriends, for I have found the coin that I lost. Just so I tell you," Jesus says, "there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." He's excited about that. He's excited about sheep being found and coins, but they represent human beings, sinful, decrepit, crazy human beings. That's what's so shocking about the man, isn't it? But he's a good, good father. You know, I had the privilege of doing the research for this, and I'm always nervous about it. I love you. I want to do a good job for you. I don't know about all the ego needs and stuff that goes on inside me, but what I do know is that he is love. That I know, and that he loves you. And I was reading everything I could get my hands on. And of course, when in doubt, I go to the greatest preacher in the English language, Charles Spurgeon. And I look for the prodigal somewhere. What did he write on it? Almost every preacher refers to him at some point in the process. And I look at him, and he goes, the title of the sermon for the prodigal son is something like, he kissed him. Prodigal son, there's so much to talk about. The nature of his destructive life. The craziness he was involved in, the sensual pleasures he was after, all of these things which were, in a sense, cancerous, he wanted, he loved, he desired. Why don't we talk about him? Well, God was talking about him in Jesus Christ. Let me read. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. This is so familiar. Does that sound familiar to you? Is there an 18-year-old that isn't like this? Just saying. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You know, sin promises, but it doesn't deliver. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The Greek there apparently says, kissed him repeatedly. It can also be interpreted, kissed him tenderly. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come, and he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. It's funny, isn't it? One preacher said, I think the preacher's name was Trapper, he said, a more appropriate response that many fathers would employ having this kid coming home in this condition would be to kick him. Now, a lot of us, honestly, if I hadn't just kind of done this dramatic reading, would have been thinking that's a pretty good idea. I remember I came home, some of you have heard this, but for those of you that are new, I'm graduating from college. My mother poured her life into me. You know, her life, everything she had, into me and my brothers. I get home, night before I'm going off to college, and I'm cocky. I'm like this kid. I'm like the prodigal and arrogant. It's early. It was 3 a.m. And of course I was drunk. Isn't that the natural state of things, you know? I tell you, I don't take pride in this, because what happens is I walk into my beloved mom. She's up at 3 a.m. Dad isn't. He's let me go in order to let me grow. That's what a loving father has to do sometimes. Do you know you cannot control your children? You cannot. At some point, they are strong enough to do whatever they're going to do. So sometimes you give them love and limits. You give them roots, but you've got to give them wings. That's what you want to do. I would counsel against it. I would inveigh against what you're trying to do. I would scream, shout, bloody murder if you go out and do that. But I love you enough to let you go. And I come in the house, living life my way, and my mom, her first response was this. It was to slap me across the face. This was not a habit of hers. Au contraire, her habit was to think everything of me and do everything for me out of an abundance of love. Honestly, I was a strong and arrogant individual. I loved my mom, you know, and I'm thinking, was that a flea? I'm telling you. I said, Mom, come here. She's saying over in the corner, I'm a monster for what she just did. She's so disappointed. This is so heartrending. I said, I love you. Going to bed, see you. That was it. I don't think I saw them again physically for at least 3 months until Thanksgiving. Never been away. I was the extravagantly wasteful child. Took me about 9 months in the pigsty to come to my sentence, to the end of my rope. And somewhere along the line in the years, my dad confessed that he had received the Lord Jesus, and my mom began to become a pro-life activist and was following the Lord with her heart. Why? You know why? Because of kisses. Because of kisses. It says the dad saw this kid coming home from a long distance. Dad's probably older. He's probably gray-haired like I am. It says he saw him far off. Now, I want to think in my fantasy that his eyes have been trained on this quadrant for a long time, looking, hoping, because Jesus Christ, as he tells this story, is describing the very nature of God towards the most sinful and rebellious of men. The Pharisees don't get it. They're the ones we've been performing. No, they haven't, but they think they have. And he's just watching and waiting. And he sees this kid coming. And again, he's an old guy, and this is just unheard of in this culture. I see him, he's picking up his robes and tying them up in a way, and he begins to sprint. He begins to sprint, and he runs to his child. And he wraps his arms around him and begins to kiss him over and over again. As Spurgeon said, he may have been out of breath, but God was not out of love. What's he like? He kissed him much. And then he begins to bequeath everything to him he can as fast as he can and restore his child. Do you know that God is like that towards you? An illustration is like this. His son is there and he's back. You know, I kiss my sons. I always have because I knew these scriptures. I kiss them on the cheek. Oh, that's unmanly, Bill. That's ridiculous. Listen, my mom slapped me. It felt like a kiss because that was love for her. That was just saying, you're so important to me. Don't do this to your life. Do you know God does that too? He allows the craziness of you to torment you when you're out there in a far country. Do you know what this kid smelled like when he came back to his dad? Do you know what he looked like? He was starving to death. Who would want to kiss that? The God we serve wants to kiss that. And the God we serve wants to invest that, if repentant, in the robes of authority, with a ring of sovereignty, and with shoes to cover his broken feet. Do you know there's an old spiritual that goes, all God's children have shoes. You know why? Because slaves were not given shoes. They didn't want them to escape, right? So immediately, this kid was lower than a slave. The job he was doing, slaves were important to masters. The day worker wasn't. They could fire them in a second. Your slave, you kept around. This kid was lower than a whale's belly in a wagon rut. He was in bad shape. But to Dad, just to have him home was to smell him like a rose. You can see him. He hugs him and kisses him and then walks away. And he begins to give orders. And then he comes back and he kisses him again. Do you know what that boy was thinking? He had prepared his speech. And he had the right order. He had the right organization, and he meant it from the heart. You know, the first thing he said was, I've sinned against heaven. Our sins are a stench in God's nostril. He created us like a loving mother to care for us. Do you know, there's a story Ravi Zacharias tells of a woman who is the best mom, and her boy finds a girl and he falls in love with her and passion happens and he's all drawn to this girl and she's enticing and she's giving him a bunch of lines that says, if you love me, there's no one you can love more than me. And he goes, I don't, there's no one. And she goes, it's your mother. You love her more than me. He says, he didn't know how to answer. I just love her differently. We know the quick answer. And she goes, if that's true, you give me her heart. Her bleeding heart. And the boy's shocked, and it's a bit of a gross story, but let me just tell you, he's crazy in love. Are we not crazy when we're in that pig pit? Have you been there? Are you there now? Do you think God's mad at you, will never let you back? He waits to kiss you. So the boy takes his mother's heart out of her, and he's running back to the girl to give her this bleeding heart. And he falls down and it goes under a bush. He falls down and he hears the heart say, son, are you hurt? Son, are you hurt? That's the love of a mother. That's how profound it is. But it is also the love of the one that's kissing the prodigal. As bad as he's been, as rotten and evil and sinful as he's been, the Father runs to him. What is your concept of God? Don't make it after your earthly father. Read the Word. This is perhaps the most profound and deep and foundational parable ever written, the story with a heavenly meaning, and it's a love letter for you. And there he is, kissing his child. John goes, but my past has been so bad, Dad. I've done so many bad things. Well, I'll kiss those away. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what about the present? How can I do good with the craziness that's in me and has been in me? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I will send to you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. He will empower you, son. I will come alongside you and comfort and lift you. But what about my future? I don't know if I can stand there. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. New things happen. I am come to give you a hope and a future, it says in Jeremiah. He is going to work with us and will with us and treat us like a loving father, both with correction and with encouragement. He will kiss you in your past, in your present, and in your future. He is utterly, husbands and dads, committed to you. Sons, daughters, committed to you. And he wants just to kiss you and to make sure that you've come home. One day I came out of my house and I had my little five-year-old. She was about five, my firstborn. Catherine was out of the house, and I couldn't... It's embarrassing to tell you this, and it's hurtful. I couldn't find her. And this went on for an hour, 2 hours, I don't know what it was. I couldn't find her anywhere. There's 50 houses around. And you know, you try to behave yourself and be strong, but your mind is going to some dreadful places that happens to real people. And finally, she wanders out of a house where a little boy had enticed her in because they're friends, and the parents didn't know that she hadn't been given permission. And I don't remember exactly what I did, but I know how long I've loved her, and I'm sure I put my arms around her and kissed her and told her I'll love her forever. Do you know God is much better than that? Toward you, toward the worst of sinners? That being the case, can we not love the darkest and the deepest and the craziest? There's an older son, and I will conclude. And he watches, and he's bitter. Jesus penned this, he spoke this parable, and he knows family systems. And the kids, if you have a large family, they're all kind of doing comparisons on some kind of chart. Who does he love more? Who does mom love more if they like mom and dad? Who does he care about more? It doesn't work that way. Love is not a substance that's simply in little pieces, and there's a limited supply in the Father's heart. His heart and love are endless towards you, and even towards this self-righteous, proud, ridiculous individual, even towards the Pharisees and scribes who hate Jesus, some of whom will put him on a cross. And what did he say? On a cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's called a kiss from the cross. He has a place near his heart for the proud and arrogant who repent and come to him. He doesn't meet you with shame and condemnation and guilt. He meets you and throws his arms around you and kisses you, both now and forever. Lord, we're concerned about our friends. We love them, Lord, but we need your power to reach them. Lord, turn some of our friends who maybe we've turned our back on because they're so ridiculous. Maybe we've lost patience. Maybe I have, Lord. Help us to renew our minds to love again. Lord, I'm sure there's a mom here whose kid is so far out in such a far place, in such a pigsty. It makes her frightened even to think of him coming home. I think of one who was a little child that she clutched to her very heart and got big and huge and sinful and crazy. But when he came home, there were kisses for him and restoration. Lord, help us be part of your grand rescuing scheme and open our lips to show forth your praise and to give ourselves to the holy hug and kiss of fathers who are so excited to see those who have died rise to life and come home. If you are either the proud and arrogant one, and it's time for you to come home, and inherit from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come home. If you've been rebellious and ridiculous and you know it, know that he wants to wrap his arms around you and meet you with kisses even now. Admit it. Admit you're a sinner. A. B. Believe Christ is the only Savior. There's no one like him. And then C. Choose to follow him. If that is the desire of your heart, there are no magic words to say. There is a turned heart to present, and there will be kisses all over your face. Lord, bless these thy people, and if that's their heart prayer, come upon them even now and reassure them of your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.